abbreviated version this morning, but it's all good. And it's, I just continually get blown away because it's like my message was demonstrated this morning. And so now I'm coming at it from an angle of, you know, digging into a little bit of what happened. Okay, so just let's look at it from that aspect. We need each other. You want to put the title of my message on it? That's what it is. We need each other. And, you know, the first relationship in history was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it was a perfect relationship, but it was a relationship. You know, they are three distinct persons, but they are one. You know, and that's, you know, we got to get our minds around that a little bit because we live in a world where our relationships are corrupt, tore down, decrepit. Everything in the world is coming against our ability to relate to one another in love and unity like the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And, you know, one of the things I'm personally convinced of is that our ability to reign in life and to see the kingdom of God manifest here on earth is our ability to function in relationships at a higher level, a high level, you know, aspiring for that unity of the Father, Son, and the Spirit in everything that we do. So I want to talk a little bit today about that because life flows through relationships and vice versa. Crud flows through relationships. And each time that we're in a relationship with somebody and an experience happens, we've got decisions to make, whether we're going to go negative, which is always easiest for some reason. I don't know if it's just because of the way that we've been trained since we were young or whatever it is, but going negative is easy. Well, I should speak for myself here, probably. But for me, going negative is way easier than trying to stay positive and trying to see the good on the other side of a bad situation, because that takes stamina, that takes character to be able to have something very uncomfortable in your face and to be able to see beyond it to what the potential is that God wants for that situation and to move from one point to the other. So back to my Father-Son-Spirit relationship, that's the perfect relationship. That's in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So I think that's a kind of a mandate to work on relationships. Different kinds of relationships. We have family. You know, God created family. Jesus called God his Father. He calls the church his bride. You know, those are all institutions within a family. He created Adam and Eve, the first family. Jesus was brought into being into a family, right? You have friends. Oh, wait, let me back up one. We've been talking about the 12 tribes in intercession before the service. The 12 tribes of Israel came from a family. And those 12 tribes were stationed in very specific places to support one another, to help keep one another accountable, to help bring out the best in the others. And that was God's design. You know, I mean, his design was Adam and Eve before the fall, but then it got messed up. And so this was his system to put us in positions with people around us that can bring out the best in us, that can help us from being our worst, remind us when we're messing up. But you have to know how to do that. You have to be willing to accept the fact that, you know, I may not like this person, but God put him slam in my life. And, you know, it might be a coincidence, but I think I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt and see what's in it, you know, for me, for this person, to grow me, to minister to this person, whatever the case may be. God had friends. You know, friends are relationships. Abraham was called God's friend. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, describes his friends in John chapter 15. We have relationships at work. You know, Craig wrote a blog post about work this week that was very insightful, that you know, points to some of the things that go on in the workplace, but we interact with people in the workplace. It's where we spend a high portion of our time in our workplace. Therefore, there's people in our workplace. Therefore, we have relationships in our workplace. And God doesn't thumb his nose at work. You know, you look at Zacchaeus, tax collector. You know, he's a little bit curious about what's going on. The Lord sees him, wham. You know, he's drawn to him. And I think by the end of that story, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Zacchaeus has given a bunch of money back and had been redeemed. So life, vitality, strength, support, fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, anointing, all flow through relationships. And here's a great example. I have a relationship with Hugh. You know, Hugh and I have history, and his wife Mary. Hugh comes to visit me because he likes me, and we're in a relationship. And Hugh and I get the chance to pray for people that are also very dear to me here in Georgia. And I'm here to tell you that one of the most fulfilling things that I've experienced is, you know, being in different places, connecting with people, and being able to minister with those people at different times in different places. And I'm not talking about necessarily even what happened this morning, but just when you're unified in your spirits and you're in line with the Holy Spirit, wherever you go, you're marching to the beat of the same drummer. And so you see a situation, whether it's in church or whether it's on the street, it doesn't matter. You know, you know what to do. You know what, I know what he's going to do. He knows what I'm going to do. And we're seeking the Lord, and the Lord's going to tell us to do something because he loves those people. So, let's see here. Do you have those verses, Mike? I'm going to read five verses. And as we read these five verses, I would just ask you to think about the words in these verses and how they relate to us being in relationship with other people. So let's start with Romans chapter 12, 16 and 18. There it is. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on us, live at peace with everybody. If it's possible. Maybe some aren't possible. I don't know. All right, let's go to Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Father, Son, Spirit, perfect unity. Love's at the middle of it. You know, when we get our spirits in line with that, I think all these problems that we encounter will flow. They'll become constructive in our lives. We'll recognize them that way, and things will change in our lives. Philippians 2, 1 through 8. And I want to note that this one has come up twice already this morning, and so I think the Lord is trying to tell us collectively something through this verse. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And, you know, when I look at this, what's impressed on my heart this morning is that's for this room. You know, there's another dimension to relationships that I feel like we're just kind of scratching the surface of. And think about this, you know, from church to church. from home to home, where you've got multiple people, but it's still the same principle. You're just applying it to different groups instead of individuals. Okay? So when we as a church read this verse about being unified with Christ, about being unified with each other, which I'm not sure that different churches can be unified with each other if the people within each church aren't unified with each other. Does that make sense? And so we're moving forward in this region in love, trying to work with other churches, other bodies, and I think it's kind of a call to work with each other, get to know each other more, spend more time with each other, get to a place where when people come through those doors with needs, which Lord willing will happen, that we'll know each other well enough to be able to minister exactly what they need. And there won't be any awkwardness because, gee, I've never prayed with this person before. I don't really know what they're doing. It's like you've done stuff together. You've served together. You've locked arms together, and you know what to do. Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 12. And this is the one that the Lord put on my heart in preparing this message. This is a popular one, but man, it blows me up every time. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so I'm gonna get high tech here. You guys will have to forgive my propensity for the whiteboard, but I'm going to get out of the way so everybody can see this, but I'm going to draw a graph, okay? And on the bottom of the graph is time. This really isn't the best marker. And time marches on, right? And up here is strength. Can't spell strength. Of relationship. And what I'm going to do is we're going to use our imaginations a little bit, and we're going to look at some different relationships, and I'm going to chart some things out, and y'all can nod your heads, whether it fits or whether you've seen it fits on somebody else or whatever the case may be. Okay, before I do that, there's a line up here where the strength of the relationship is perfect. And let's call that the Trinity. Okay, that's the bar that we're going for. Because we're called to be like Christ. We're made in the image of God, etc. And my wife's not here, but she and I have been discussing this week. And, marriage. So I'm gonna use my example. My wife and I got married when we were 20. So let's call that time zero on this chart. And let's just say, we're somewhere down here. We got a pretty good relationship, or we wouldn't have got married, right? And we're rocking along and growing closer every day until I'm tired of doing the dishes. in marriage, there's majors and minors. Dishes are a minor until it becomes a major. It doesn't matter what it is. Pick your issue, okay? That point in time, there's a test. And in our case, things went down, I don't know how far. It really doesn't matter. You get the point of what I'm doing here, right? The relationship suffers. And we're talking about dishes, but there's serious things too. I mean, there's adultery, there's you name it. It's just the amplitude of this line is in proportion with the seriousness of the problem or how it's perceived by the other person. So here's the deal. This is what the Lord showed me as I've been thinking about this verse. That third chord in a marriage, that third chord really in any relationship, It's like a lifeline. You know what I'm saying? Has anybody seen the movie The Greatest Showman?
No,
okay. I won't ruin it, I promise. I won't ruin it, I promise. But you know, it's about I forget the guy's name, the guy that was the circus wonder. And there's a trapeze in there, right? And there's one of the scenes in the movie where this trapeze artist is a female, and this other guy is in love with her or something, and anyway, he gets on the trapeze, and he swings down, and he picks her up, and he keeps swinging. And you know, there's a rope right here that'll go down as far as it needs to. And the picture that came to my mind, man, is like, I could see my wife and I going through something, and let's say it's serious, and she's having a hard time, man, and I'm deciding whether I'm mad. I'm not sure I really want to. I might just want her to sweat it out a little bit or something. But that has nothing to do with any of those verses we just read. You know, letting people sweat it out and pay for what they did has nothing to do with any of those verses that I just read. And, you know, if you can prove me wrong on that, I'll listen to you. But for me, it's just not there. And so what you got to do is you got to grab the rope and you got to come to the rescue. And if you get there and she kicks you off the rope, you got to go grab a hold of it again.
Amen.
And go at it again.
Amen.
And I hope that would make a good word picture for y'all, because it's been hammering me. And you know, it's almost noon, and I'm not even going to proceed with other types of relationships. But I think if you take those four verses, five verses, whatever it was, and if you chew on those this week, and if you put that shoe on where it fits, and look at what you're supposed to do and what you're doing, and really meditate on what you should be doing, and you remember that there's always a rope there between you, no matter who it is, that you can grab at any time. That sucker's long. So, you know, there's nothing too far gone that the Lord can't fix it. But it's got to have somebody to grab onto it.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. That's right.
And, you know, let me draw just a few more lines on here. Let's think they go good. You have a little problem. You're up here. Each one of these points, there's always people on every point on this line. There's always people where things are going good. There's always people in the ditch. There's always people that had a minor setback. We are life bombs, every single one of us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. People have needs. And we have got to get to the place where we're okay to be around people. And then this all goes back to an issue of identity, knowing who we are individually as sons and daughters of God, and being comfortable in that, being able to rest in that, even if it's not going our way. When we have that going for us, we can jump in here at any point in people that we're in relationship with and make a deposit. And it doesn't have to be some big dramatic deal. It can simply be going out for a coffee with somebody that's having a bad day. Josh Brown last week. I had another bad week last week. I got to quit having those, but anyway, after church, I wasn't here Sunday because I had to work because it was hitting the fan. He called me up and to just check on me. And that was a big deal. And it's just simple acts of kindness, things that promote harmony, you know, all those things that we just read about that we are really obligated to do if we're going to live like Christ. You know, we can't reach everybody, but we need to be open to people, not stiff-arming people, and be willing, need to be open, we need to understand who we are, and we need to be willing to let the Lord use us in simple but profound ways.
Yes, sir.
And so, we're going to rewind the tape here. You know, we are in a individual family. We are in a church family. We are in a region that's learning some of these dynamics corporately. And I just, I feel like our church is kind of at the tip of the battering ram on some of these things. Not all these things, because we're not skilled in all these things. And we don't need to be. That's not God's design. We're to be united, not the same. And so, you know, I just, in my heart, I just think it's imperative that we recognize these things. We recognize the stuff at an individual level, and we're also able to open our minds to the fact that, you know, there's other things at play here, and it raises the stakes. And it's not to put pressure on us, because at the end of the day, we're sons and daughters, we're kids in God's kingdom. And a good dad's not going to pressure you into doing anything.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, let me retract that a little bit. But it's not his point to just put you out there and make you work for everything in your life. He's going to help you. He might put you in positions to challenge you, but he's going to be there at your back to boost you up.
Yes,
sir. So I guess I'm just going to pray. But that goes deep. How's that? Father God, I thank you for this blessed time here this morning in your house, with my brothers and sisters, with your family, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that that word picture of the rope coming down from heaven, Lord, that third cord in any relationship, I pray that that would be at the front of everybody's mind this week, Father God, as we leave this place, Lord, that you just etch that in our spirits and help it to bubble up whenever we need it to, Father God. Whether we're in a relationship with somebody or whether we're going to impart some life into somebody who just needs a little bit of a boost, Lord, that's the work of your kingdom, every bit of it. And Lord, I just pray this week that you would give us opportunities to apply some of these things, Father, to demonstrate a kingdom lifestyle in this region. And I thank you for every person in this place, Lord. And I pray that you bless every single one of them this week in Jesus' name. Amen.